Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. I'm J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. For the past few weeks on Hope for Today, we've been studying from Daniel chapter 4, and our study is titled, The Most High Rules. In our previous study, I said there were several events that led King Nebuchadnezzar to acknowledge that the Most High rules. The first event that we looked at was a tranquil kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar was feeling secure and prosperous. His military campaigns were over, and he had brought peace to his far-flung kingdoms. From his perspective, it's time for a well-deserved rest and time to enjoy his many accomplishments. The second event then we looked at was a terrifying dream. It was amazing how quickly Nebuchadnezzar's thoughts changed from tranquility to terror. And he rehearses his terrible dream for Daniel, and then he asks him to interpret what it means, which leads us to the next event, the troubling interpretation. Now Daniel is in a difficult position. He really doesn't want to tell the king the meaning of the dream. Remember, he said, "My Lord, may the dream be for those who hate you, and its interpretation for your enemies." But eventually, he does tell him the meaning of the dream, and that leads us to the final event in this text. Right now, let's learn more, and I will read Daniel chapter 4, beginning with verse 18 and reading through the end of the chapter. "This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation. But you are able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in you." Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, "Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you." Belteshazzar answered and said, "My lord, may the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concern your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, in which there was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and in whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, 'Chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him.' This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord, the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you, after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity." All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. the king spoke, saying, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men, and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, What have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor, my splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. Babylon was a magnificent city. Its outer wall was wide enough for two chariots to pass each other on its top. Nebuchadnezzar built great fortifications and canals through the city to increase commerce. Nearly 50 different buildings with his inscription have been uncovered. As the king was speaking these words of pride, a voice from heaven fell on his ears. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and seven periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men, and gives it to whom he will. Immediately the king was stricken with boanthropy. This is a recognized mental illness where the victim believes he or she is a bovine, and they act accordingly. So the king was driven from the palace to begin his season of insanity. One of the interesting things about this disease is that the person who is suffering from it still retains an inner consciousness. And we see that consciousness in King Nebuchadnezzar later in the chapter. What a picture this is of the destructive nature of pride. Pride is the root of all sin. It was the sin that got Lucifer in trouble, the focus on I. How many men in positions of responsibility and authority have become enamored with power? And how many, like Nebuchadnezzar, have boasted in their accomplishments, forgetting the God who is the giver of everything? God is still humbling proud people today. So be careful. Be careful to give God his glory and thank him that you can be his servant. Nebuchadnezzar's tormented existence leads us to the final event, which is the transformed heart. This final part of the narrative is written in the first person. The king is speaking directly of his own experiences. So here's the king, out in the field, behaving like an ox. His focus is on the ground and what he can find to eat. And yet he isn't totally devoid of reason. Notice that at the end of the 7 years, what does he do? He lifts his eyes toward heaven. His inner consciousness motivated him to recognize the power of the Most High. His powers of reasoning were fully restored. His experience reminds us that the first step in repentance is to lift our eyes toward heaven, to get our focus off ourselves and to look to God. It's important for us to note the connection here between the exercise of faith and the return of reason. While he was full of his own importance, Nebuchadnezzar's world revolved around him and around what he wanted. It didn't strike him how unrealistic this was until he was brought low by illness. Sanity begins with a realistic self-appraisal. As a result of his experiences, he blesses God and he offers praise to the one who lives forever and ever. He confesses that God is eternal, that he has an everlasting dominion, and that he rules over a kingdom that endures from generation to generation. He states that God's omniscience enables him to view the inhabitants of the earth as nothing. His statement reminds me of Isaiah 40, verse 15, where God regards the nations as a drop of water that falls from a bucket into the dust and disappears, or like the light film of dust that lays on the balance scales. Evidently, the king's counselors had kept watch over him during this time of insanity, and they immediately noticed the change in him. His kingdom and his officials were restored to him with additional majesty and glory. He praised and honored and extolled the true God as the King of heaven, whose works are truth and whose ways are justice. His final statement is made with the authority of experience. Those who walk in pride, God is able to humble. My friend, have you experienced the reality of this truth? That the Most High God rules? Do you see his hand at work in history and in the present? The most important question is this one. Does the Most High God rule in your life? You see, the reality is the Most High rules. He rules over all, over the lives of believer and unbeliever alike. The difference is, do we acknowledge that rule and willingly submit to it? If we do not submit to God's rule, then we can expect God to allow experiences into our lives to break our will and to make us willing to submit to him. The other choice is to submit voluntarily and bypass the pain of being involuntarily broken. What will your choice be? My friend, were you blessed by the teaching on today's broadcast? If so, you can request an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching. Just write and request it by its title, The Most High Rules. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Most High Rules. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Most High Rules. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in the book of Daniel. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.